We've been talking about the love walk, and as the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit of the Spirit is love, and all the others will flow out of that. But we really spent a lot of time on the love walk just to realize how important it is. And the love walk is agape love, a sacrificial love, which is in our born-again spirit. But in our heart, we're not used to that, sacrificing for those that we're angry at, or those that are attacking us, or those that are hurting us. And this is why Jesus said, love your enemies, because as we do that, we grow in love, we experience God. Anyways, we've been teaching about this amazing concept of walking in sacrificial love. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if we do not have love, we are nothing, have nothing, and gain nothing. So our whole Christian life before God is based on this concept of sacrificial love, because it brings God's love to others. It melts their hearts, because when we sacrifice in our heart, somebody slaps us in the cheek, we want to slap them back. Anger rises up. But as we force ourselves to love this person, and the only way we can do it is because we love Jesus. It's not in our heart to love our enemies, but it's in our spirit. And so we force ourselves to do it in faith because Jesus said so. But as we have seen in the teaching, that as we do that, that love through that experience, that love of God that's in our spirit becomes a part of our heart. And as the love in our heart grows stronger, we're changed from day to day, changed from glory to glory, the Bible says. And as that becomes stronger than all our negative emotions of pride, anger, rejection, all of those things start to decrease. They're not as strong in us anymore. This is discipleship. This is learning to live in the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so it's understanding how the heart works and how important the sacrificial love for others is. And without it, we just are sort of going in the circle and going to church and doing all the right things, but we get religious and lose our first love. So to keep our first love, we got to walk in love. Amen? All right, so we've gone through a number of things on this. I want to see if we can sort of wrap this up today. I'm just going to go over the points that we made, the importance of walking in love. Romans 13, 8 to 10, love is the fulfillment of the law. And so we don't try and keep the Ten Commandments. I mean, keeping the Ten Commandments is the lowest level of Christianity. It's easy not to murder. It's not so easy not to hate your enemy. All right? And so this love walk will get rid of the hatred in our heart. And when people try to hurt us, it just doesn't take, because we just feel sorry for them, wondering how much they went through in their life that makes them that way. And we can become stronger in love. And love is not easily angered. And love has compassion and so forth. So love is the fulfilling of the law. We don't try to keep the law like we used to before we were saved. Now we live from the power of a new life, and through sacrificial love, we now fulfill the law, but we have to die to do it, die to ourselves. Love keeps you in covenant relationship and in the blessings. So we're in a covenant with our Heavenly Father, and the whole point is that we need to, through water baptism, we are committing to die to ourselves and to live for Him. As we do that through walking in love, which is the best way to do it, there's many aspects of that, but the basic concept is that we keep walking in love, and that keeps us in a covenant relationship. If we sin and we continue to do the same sin, and we don't ask for forgiveness, and we keep on going, we sear our conscience, and we're not really keeping our part of the covenant. We're not living in the covenant and all the covenant blessings. We've fallen from grace. We have no power received the grace of God to be able to overcome these things without Him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So again, love keeps everything in this proper balance in our life with God and our covenant. Love keeps you in Christ Jesus. were in Christ when we asked Jesus to be the Lord of our life. We were water baptized. We're in Christ. But that is a spiritual position that we have because Jesus died for us. We are identified with him through baptism into his whole experience. We were crucified with Christ. We died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We were raised to newness of life with Christ, and we're seated with him in heavenly places. That is a wonderful, awesome position to have in the spiritual realm, and it's been accomplished by Jesus on the cross. And when we accept what Jesus did with us, we are identified with him in what he did for us. We're baptized into him. But if we don't live in him, then it's just a nice idea in our head. It's not benefiting our life, and it's not changing our life. So walking in love keeps us in Christ Jesus, keeps us in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Love gives you heart confidence for answered prayer. As we grow in love, our relationship with God grows. We trust him more, and it's a reality in our heart, not just in our head. We know we're supposed to trust God, but as Fred said this morning, that's not always easy. It's easy to trust God when you got money in the bank, but when you don't, it's a little different. Not to worry and be anxious and so forth. But the more that we walk in love, the more that we experience God in our heart, the more that our relationship with him grows, the more that our trust grows, the more that our faith grows, we really actually experience in our heart God's love for us. We experienced it when we first got saved. All of a sudden, the sky was bluer, the grass was greener, and we're wondering, why didn't somebody tell us about this sooner? And God says, they tried, but you weren't listening. Everybody remember that, being born again? Amen. Wasn't that exciting? Yep. All right, well, we don't ever want to lose that. This is how we keep it. So love gives you heart confidence for answered prayer, and it's faith growing unto faith, and by faith, we're walking in love. It's not something we do naturally. We have to be born again to do it. We have to know God. I don't know anybody that does not know God that would just sacrificially walk in love unless they have a teaching along those lines that is good. You know, different religions pick up the teachings of Jesus and they teach them, and some of them try to live them because they believe Jesus was a holy man and a prophet, but he wasn't God. And so there are people that try to live these principles in different backgrounds. And God will honor that for them. Many of them are getting saved and are going to be saved. All right, the next thing we talked about was that through love we experience heart-to-heart relationship with Jesus and the Father God. How about that for something amazing? Wow. We actually experience God in our hearts through this sacrificial love for others. Otherwise, we're just reading a book with words in it. And God is love. Jesus said, when you walk in love, if you obey me, if you love me, you will obey me. And he commanded us to love God and to love our brothers. And he said, when you do that, then me and my Father will come and make our home in you, our abode in you. We will manifest ourselves to you. You will experience us in your hearts. Wow. So we love God. We want more of God. Walk in love more. It sounds quite simple, doesn't it? But hard to do sometimes. But we have to train ourselves to do it, because for years we've been trained not to turn the other cheek. Somebody says something bad about us, we start to gossip about them. It's just a natural reaction because of the evil that's in our hearts to do that. But love will get rid of that. So we have to realize what our problems are and love our way out of those problems. Love is proof of sonship. You know you're a child of God because you walk in love. So don't ever doubt that. Even when your heart condemns you and all your negative emotions rise up and you feel terrible and you wonder how God could ever love you, well, proof that you're a child of God is you keep walking in love. Plus, it sets your heart at rest in his presence when your heart condemns you. You ask for forgiveness, but the negative emotions in your heart don't just dissipate right away when you ask for forgiveness. You have to keep walking in love. But if you have undue anger and resentment in your heart, when you keep forgiving, that is released from you because you've forgiven others. But we have to forgive from the heart. Many times Christians only do lip service with this. This is the kind of stuff I want to teach on Saturday nights, so that people, they don't hear this kind of teaching in their churches. So they have to understand what's in their heart and how to live for God, so that He can be first in their lives, and they can cooperate with the Holy Spirit in becoming holy, in working out their salvation with fear and trembling. There's so much to be taught out there that they're not getting in their churches, that this is what we want to do on Saturday nights. And as we continue to do that, I believe we'll start doing more seminars. People will start to get hungry for the Word of God. That's how God works. We do our part, He does His part. They get hungry, they want more. This is how it keeps happening overseas. This is why we have movements started in these different countries. It's just been very difficult in Canada, because here everybody knows everything and they're fine, and they have money and the government helps them, and so they're just not hungry enough for God. They sort of go to church for friendship and good music and praise God and soothe their conscience and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying they're all bad. I'm just saying that they don't go far enough into spiritual things. Number 7, love ensures spiritual discernment and guidance from God. The Bible talks about the kingdom of light. The more that we walk in love, we're walking in the light. If we say we love God and hate our brother, the Bible says we're a liar. And if we hate our brother, then we are still in darkness and we are not in the light. We do not have fellowship with the light. And so the more that we walk in love, we're walking in the light, and then we can see clearly. We have more discernment. You wouldn't buy a used car in the dark, would you? You want the brightest time of day to look at that used car to see how much rust is on it and everything else. And so we have to think this way in spiritual terms. We don't want to be walking around in darkness, spiritually speaking, because we won't see clarity. Bible talks about His Word being a lamp unto our feet. As we walk in it, it's like the dawn coming up in the morning into the full brightness of day. Everything starts to get more clear and more clear as we're walking in His Word, and His Word is to love one another. All of these things is understanding the spiritual realm and how to work in our lives. Jesus said, with whatever measure you meet, so shall be measured to you. The degree that we walk in love, to that degree we experience God, to that degree we have discernment, understanding, and so forth. And as we often said, sin makes you stupid, dull and in darkness. Number 8, love, the sacrificial motivation from the heart, is a test of sonship. Are you really a Christian? Then we should be walking in love. If you're accused of being a Christian, is there enough proof of your love walk to bring a guilty charge against you? And eventually, we will be accused of being Christians. We'll be hated by the whole world in the last days when everything starts to happen, if we're still here. All right, we want to get to step 9 here. Love is a binding factor. This is really, really so important. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And let's start in verse 9. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices. That's the old man, the person we used to be, controlled by the sin principle that's in our flesh. And have clothed yourself with the new spiritual self. That's the new creation, the new birth. That's the born-again spirit that we have, which is the very nature of God in us, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded into fuller and more perfect knowledge upon knowledge, after the image, the likeness of Him who created it. Wow. When it comes to knowledge, I believe our born-again spirit knows everything, because it's the very Spirit of God in us. And we also have the Holy Spirit, who knows everything. We have the greatest teacher in the universe living inside of us. We just have to spend some time with Him. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There is no room for, and there can be neither Greek nor Jew. Wow. Circumcision nor uncircumcised, nor difference between nations, whether alien, barbarians, or Scythians, who are the most savage of all, nor slave or free man, but Christ is all and in all, everything and everywhere to all men without distinction of persons. So in Christ, we are all equal. We are all one. Jesus died for all of us. There, God does not have favorites. We're all favorites. Clothe yourself, therefore, verse 12, because of this, because of who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, how the Father sees us now. Clothe yourself, therefore, as God's own chosen ones, his own picked representatives. That should be enough to get us excited right there. Jesus said, you did not choose me, I chose you to go forth and bear much fruit. The creator of the universe, our heavenly Father, chose us. We are born by the will of God. It's God's will that none should perish, but all come to eternal life. Just think of your family, your friends, your neighbors around you who don't know God. God chose you. It should make you feel special. His own picked representatives who are purified and holy, well-beloved by God himself by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways, a lowly opinion of yourselves. See, here's the problem in the sense that sometimes if people get saved, they're so full of rejection, they have a lowly opinion, they're almost ready to commit suicide, they have such a low opinion of themselves. But in Christ, we have full acceptance. Now they need a revelation of that, the righteousness by faith, and then start living that. But as we mature in the Lord, some people start to get full of pride because of how God used them to heal the sick or this, that, or the other thing, or all the revelations they've received. So you have to have a lowly opinion of yourselves in Christ, because God gives grace to the humble, and we keep needing grace. Gentle ways and a lowly opinion of yourselves. If you have a high opinion of yourself, you're going to have a problem with pride. You're going to be judgmental, critical of others, and so forth. Gentle ways and patience, which is tireless and long-suffering. Why do I get under conviction every time I read that? Patience, which is tireless. Tireless patience. I'm tired of being patient. I'm going to fix this thing. Be quiet and sit down. There, we fixed it. Which is tireless and long-suffering. Long-suffering. Some of us have been suffering long, but not long-suffering. And has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Oh, that sounds so good, doesn't it? Be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if one has a difference, a grievance, or a complaint against one another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Above all of these virtues, long-suffering, patience, forgiveness, gentleness, put on love and enfold yourself with the bond of perfectness. Enfold yourself, clothe yourself with the bond of perfectness, which binds everything together completely in ideal harmony. So love binds all these good virtues together perfectly in proper harmony so that you are love motivated for others and you're always using the right attribute at the right time for what that individual needs. Sometimes we have a lot of knowledge about the Bible and somebody says they had their problem and we start, instead of listening to them, we start quoting the Bible. Well, just do this and do this. Well, this is who you are in Christ. Don't listen to that. But We have no love or compassion for them. We just have instructions. And sometimes people don't think you really care until you listen to their problem. Even though you understand the problem and you know the answer, they still need somebody who will listen. They need a friend. They need to get that off their chest, all right? And so it's not just sometimes when I've been under pressure, people would start quoting the Bible to me and I get mad. I know what the Bible says. I don't need that right now. I need some encouragement or some prayer or something, but I don't need to be told what to do. I know what to do. I'm working on it. Do you ever have that? Am I the only one that ever happens to? I think we've all had that, right? Like, why doesn't he just shut up? I've been pastoring for 30 years. Don't you think I know that? Let me deal with this. Give me time here. Don't start preaching at me. And so love, as we get stronger in love, it binds all of our virtues together in perfect harmony. And also, as we get stronger in love, it keeps our anger in proper perspective. God is love, but he can get angry because he's also a God of justice. And so the Bible says, be angry and sin not. And so it keeps our anger in proper perspective. It keeps our patience in long suffering. See, it binds all these virtues together properly. So the stronger we get in love, the more patience that we have, the less anger that we have, the less resentment that we have. It just binds our whole character together in a proper facet. This so lines up with the subconscious mind. As I read in the on the internet one time, I was just looking through subconscious mind. And the heart is really the subconscious mind, but it talked about a homeostasis principle of the subconscious mind. Is that a homeostasis principle keeps everything functioning properly and in order with the inner workings of that organism. And so our heart functions that way. It has a homeostasis principle. The problem is that until we've grown in Christ, all of our, it keeps our rejection, our rebellion, and pride all working together to make us who we are. And it keeps doing that all the time. So the only way we can change is by walking in love. And love has to become that homeostasis principle that keeps everything bound together properly. And so we have to see, and so the heart doesn't want to change because of this homeostasis principle that everything wants to stay the way it is. It's the tendency of the heart to do that. That's the way the heart is created, the tendency of our subconscious mind. And so now we have to die to ourselves and we have to live sacrificially for others. That's the only way we can change that our hearts. And our hearts don't want to change, so we have to practice love, the Bible says, and we do it because we love Jesus. But then love becomes the homeostasis principle that binds all of our virtues together in perfect harmony. Isn't that awesome? I mean, again, it's the same principle as the subconscious mind, but love becomes that homeostasis principle that keeps everything bound together the way it should be. And so if a Christian is not walking in sacrificial love, he can't change his heart. And his heart wants to stay the way it is. And he doesn't want to sacrifice for his enemy. He doesn't want to pray for those that persecute him. It's not a tendency of the heart to do that. It's a tendency of the heart not to do that because of that homeostasis principle. But we know what the Word of God says, so by faith we do it. And as we do it by faith, then our heart changes. And then as we practice that, we change more and more and more, and love becomes that homeostasis principle within our heart or within our subconscious mind. So then when that becomes stronger, 95% of decisions we make is according to our core belief system. And so if we change our core belief system through walking in love, then subconsciously we will just be walking in love and doing the right thing. I've done that many times, and you've probably done it too, where you were in a situation and somebody said some things to you and you didn't get upset and you just were polite and you said some good things and you prayed for them, and then afterwards when you got home and you got thinking about what they did, oh, I should have told them this. Who do they think they were to say that to me? And you sort of, the devil got you worked up. And then you realize, no, wait a minute, I did the right thing. Has that ever happened to anybody else? Do you see what I'm talking about? But because you have been walked in love and you love each other, then in that situation, subconsciously, you did the right thing automatically without thinking about it. But when you went home and thought about it, your negative emotions started to rise up. You see what I'm saying? So that's a good sign that you did the right thing. But don't let the devil get at you and stir up your negative emotions because of what that person said afterwards. And when those negative emotions rise up and you get thinking that way, pray for them again. Do another act of love. And after a while, you train yourself and it just don't matter anymore because, no, you see, you get walking in that realm on a continual basis and your heart has been changed and you just start to live in that realm more and more and more. But unless you understand what's going on in your heart, you've got to work through this process. So when you go home and you think about it and you get mad and you say, oh, I should have done this, I should have told him this, that should be a signal to you right there. No, wait a minute, I did the right thing. You should realize that's my heart acting up. And you say, shut up, heart. Shut up, devil. And pray for that person again. Every time those negative things come up, just pray for that person again. See, you keep doing an act of love, which keeps your heart in peace and at rest in his presence because God is greater than your heart. So this is always going to happen. But if people don't understand what's happening, then they'll just sit there and think and get mad and mad and mad and mad. Now we're letting the kingdom of darkness work in our heart. We're letting the anger and the rebellion rise up and be active in our heart. Then it's hard to walk in love again. So if we want to really fine-tune, you know, you have a car, you want to fine-tune that engine. If you want to fine-tune your heart, you got to keep working on this and putting it into practice, even in your thought life. You know, it's not just good enough to say, I did the right thing, okay, I'm just going to forget about it. It's just another, because it's another opportunity for you to weaken that sin principle in you by praying for that person again. Sometimes I've forgiven people, and then this is how the devil works, and that sin principle works in our hearts. He'll bring that thing up, and he'll whisper some things in your ear or whatever, and then you get mad. First thing I do is start praying for that person again until that stops. Once it stopped, then it's done. But I keep praying every time any kind of anger or resentment rises up because of what happened after I've already forgiven them. I pray for them again. Keep praying till eventually it is all gone. All right? That's how we grow. That's how we change. That's how we stay in the blessings. This is getting down to the nitty-gritty of our thought life where we have to get. This is what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, it is written, do not commit adultery. But I tell you, if you have lustful thoughts, you've already committed adultery. That doesn't mean just because a thought comes that you've committed adultery. But if you dwell on that thought and fantasize on that thought for any period of time, well, then that's the same as doing it as far as God's concerned, because in your heart, you're doing it because you're thinking about it, right? And so Jesus taught to turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, love your enemies, and that gets rid of those bad thoughts. So anytime you have those kind of thoughts about anybody, negative thoughts, then even if you have thoughts like that about anyone, then ask for forgiveness. See, your relationship with God has to go right down through your heart life, your heart thoughts, because that's where God is, the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts. And just keep doing that and working on that and keep doing that. I got to do this every day with my thoughts all the time. Because if I don't, I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself anyways. I don't trust my heart. It's deceitfully wicked above all things. But how many people want to live at this level of Christianity? But this is what we're called to teach, because we're supposed to get people ready for what's coming in the last days. So we're going to have some interesting sessions on Saturday night that is going to bring a lot of conviction to people. Then I have to explain all the conviction that they're going through and all of that. So I can't teach as fast Saturday nights as I do here, because you guys have heard this stuff enough times. But it's always good to remember this stuff and to go over it, because it's something we have to do every day, every minute, every hour of our life. Wow. I only got one scripture done this morning. I told the girls we'd be done by 11:30. But it was good. So you can tell them we're ready. Let's just end here. Yes, Bill. Yeah.
Oh, shut up. I shut my mouth. Straight me right up.
It's not as, yeah. When I was really mad, the Lord told me, go give him $50. I said, say what? I'm Dutch. That's why he didn't say 100, I guess. But Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the depth of understanding that you've given us, Father. For this ministry you've called us to, Lord. We are just so blessed. But Lord, with that becomes the responsibility also of walking in this knowledge, in this revelation, in this depth of holiness that you've called us to, Father. So Lord, by your grace, we just pray that we would fulfill every purpose that you have for us in these days, Father. And Lord, even as you've told me to start walking in the fullness of my calling as an apostle, Lord, this morning we could continue to pray together, Father God, and we stand together for all those, Father, in this congregation that are suffering from arthritis, osteoporosis, whatever sickness and disease that we have, Father. Lord, we come together in agreement, and we release by faith your healing anointing power into each and every body in this congregation, Father God. In the name of Jesus, we command every spirit of infirmity to leave now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of infirmity to leave now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, command those seizures on Bob to stop now. Satan, you take your hands off him completely in the name of Jesus. No more seizures in Jesus' name. Command all pain to leave now in Jesus' name. Command the arthritis, every spirit of arthritis, to leave these bodies now in Jesus' name. Pain, leave now in Jesus' name. Command all pain to leave now in Jesus' name. All spirits of infirmity, leave now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Arthritis, you will leave these bodies now. Cease your manifestation in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You carried this on the cross. Our pains and our sorrows, our sickness and diseases. The same as our salvation, Lord Jesus. It's all part and parcel of the same sacrifice. We thank you. We believe that we've received. We release by faith your healing anointing power into every body that drives out every sickness and disease of any kind or nature in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just believe you together as a congregation. So we go to older Lord that we do not suffer from sickness and disease. We die a natural death in our sleep to go home to be with you, Lord. No suffering, no more suffering, Lord. Jesus paid for it all, and we thank you for it. Pain, leave now in Jesus' name. Pain, leave now in Jesus' name. Pain, leave now in Jesus' name. All arthritis, leave now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, as we come together for fellowship, we just pray your blessing on the food, Lord, be health and nourishment for our body, that we may serve you acceptably in these days, Father. And by your grace, fulfill all the purpose that you have for us as a congregation in this area and in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.